Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. On the phone with me is Lisa Murphy. Lisa Murphy, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you?
I am pretty darn delightful. It's kind of a rainy day here in Iowa, high of like 87. Like the rest of the country is melting. And like last week, I think the highest temperature we've had in the last 10 days has been like 92. It's been delightful. So last time
yeah,
we recorded,
it's pretty melty
out there.
Florida. I think I broke the dog yesterday. He plopped down. I told him that I told the dog, like I had a conversation with the dog and I'm like, okay, sorry. Clearly I've been taking you out. It's too late. It's too hot. You know, I won't ever do that again. And I didn't. And apparently even 10 a.m. is past the threshold because, poor Kane, our usual 3 mile loop, and he plopped down at least 5 times. And the last time was like 100 yards from the house, right in the middle of the street. Like he's like, I'm done.
I'm gone.
I'm like, dude, people are looking. Come on, get up.
I've gone far enough. And so, did he eventually get up and get going?
Did I kind of did that. I thought I was cheering on the last 2 miles of a first timer marathoner. I was like, come on, you got this. Like I talked the entire time that last mile. Come on, you got this.
You can do it.
I know you're hot. You're almost there. You can do it. And so we're almost to Kane's house. And then we came in and he was like, and then I made the mistake of thinking he would appreciate getting hosed off, which he hated that. So I made a mental note of don't try to hose down the dog. So he laid on the tile and cooled down. It took him about an hour. I felt really bad. And I was like, don't die, man. You can't die when your dad's not here. That's just not going to be cool. Not cool. So I made him scrambled eggs, thinking at least mostly, one, to say I'm sorry, and two, mostly to see if he could get up and move to come to the food bowl. It was actually more of a test than really a make nice food-related thing. Oh, my God. I was like, just get up. Let me make sure you can use – okay, you're moving. You ate. All right, we're good. Now I can calm down.
Yeah, you don't want to kill the boyfriend's dog. That wouldn't be good.
No, you don't. Not on my watch. No.
So
especially doing something that I said I wasn't going to do, like take him out when it's too damn hot. Like it's after 8, you know. Go. Anyway, sorry, that has nothing to do with anything.
Well, no, it actually does, because what I thought we could talk about is this new caregiving / parenting strategy I've been working, I wouldn't say feverishly on. I thought about it for a little bit while I was doing some yard work the other day. It was kind of warm out and I was sweating, so that's kind of maybe almost feverish. No, it's a strategy of shut up and wait.
Shut up and wait.
Shut up and wait. That's the strategy for dealing with many of the issues that come up in early learning and parenting. And I think it would have worked with Kane, too. If you would have stopped there in the middle of the street, waited a couple minutes, he would have caught his breath, and then off we go to the house. And
sure.
And I mean,
sure.
you waited long enough. How is he today?
Oh, he's totally fine.
Yeah.
But I didn't bring him today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I went on the run without him, but he recovered. I think so often we get... We get in this mindset that we got to deal with something right now, and we got to fix it, and we got to make it better. And really, what we could do in a lot of those situations is just shut up and wait, and the thing works itself out. Now,
like the pause.
Yeah, yeah, it's that pause. Now, maybe not a broken femur, That's something you probably want to deal with immediately in the situation. So there are times that this strategy won't work, but I just thought I'd toss it out there and get your opinion on it.
Well, and one would think that common sense would be a variable of sorts in there, but I'm not sure we could assume that. You know, but when you first said that shut up and wait, I'm thinking of, you know, the age old example at the park. You know, somebody takes a tumble and you kind of look out of the side of your eye because, you know, if you turn the full head and make a noise that, you know, you're going to unintentionally escalate perhaps a situation that would have handled itself on its own.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking of. It's a pause. It's that blah, 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 blah.
Well, I got a real world example of it that that decision making process. I messaged you about this after it happened because it was the best moment of my life. The other day, I'm at the grocery store and I go to the express.
Oh, yeah.
I go to the express lane with my cottage cheese and my blueberries, and it wasn't really express. It was kind of going. You shouldn't call it the express lane if it doesn't move fast. But anyway, I watch across from the express lane. They've got the grocery store little flower shop area, and they've got a walk-in glass cooler to keep the flowers climate controlled. And I watch a older woman, I'm guessing mid-70s, open the walk-in cooler door and walk in, and the door closes behind her. And there's like four doors there. It's just like glass panel doors. And she walks in and she looks at some roses, and then she turns around to come out, and she can't get the door to open because they've got those little vacuum seal magnet-y thing, like refrigerator doors sometimes.
Okay.
Like you open the refrigerator and close it, and then you got to tug on it a little bit to open it. I think it's that situation. And she's older and kind of frail looking. I mean, and so she's having a hard time, and she can't. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to rush out of line here and go rescue this lady, rip off my shirt to reveal the superhero costume underneath and all that. Yeah. And then I decided to pause, and she'll figure it out, and she's going to be embarrassed if I come over and do that or whatever. And so I wait, and it's about 3 minutes before I get my stuff rung up, and I'm done with the transaction there. And she's still there, and this time it's escalated to the point where she's tapping on the glass and trying to get the attention of people that's walking by, but nobody's paying attention to her. And I find this tragic and hilarious.
At the same time,
which I mean, it totally was, and so I walked over and I decided stepping back and waiting isn't solving the situation. I need to intervene, and so I just opened the door and she came out and scurried away as quickly as like a 75-year-old woman can scurry. No engagement with me. She just was out of there. She was totally embarrassed, and I get that. But it was that moment where at the beginning I'm thinking, oh, I should jump in, and then it got to the point where, well, not jumping in, she could die. I don't think she would have died. There's ventilation in there, but those moments we've got to kind of read the room. And another topic we're gonna get into sometime is situational awareness, which kind of relates to this. Yeah, go ahead.
Totally. No, I was gonna say it's you know, situational awareness. It's the time when somebody is on their tippy toes trying to put that top on the block, and then you can see the light bulb go on in their head where they go pull a chair over from the table, you know, and put it next to it so then they can make it even that much higher. And being fully aware of what's going on, but not reacting and shutting it down or jumping to conclusions like somebody's going to get hurt or they're going to fall off. Like just waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen before reacting. I mean, I hate to reduce the conversation to sound bites, but I'm going to. The reflecting versus reacting is totally in my brain right now when you brought up this topic.
Mm-hmm.
And Alfie Kohn's quote of terrific teachers have teeth marks on their tongues. What would that look like, right? If you just shut up for a minute and see what happens instead of assuming that because you're bigger, you have all of the answers.
Yeah, and even
the need to get involved in the first place.
Yeah, and even sometimes when we know exactly what's going to happen, letting that thing happen and letting the child or old lady, I guess, deal with the situation on their own, to the best of their abilities, can sometimes be a good thing. I'm thinking about watching a 3-year-old pour a glass of milk.
Oh God! I know grown adults that would have to leave the room.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm even going to put it, they're pouring into a glass cup from a glass pitcher.
Oh yeah.
And you
on a tile floor.
Yeah, yeah.
That you just cleaned.
Yeah, and you know they're going to spill, and the variable is how much.
Either
it's going to be a small drizzle or the whole quart of milk is going to go all over the place. And I would venture that the allowing them to spill the milk and then deal with the consequences is a bigger learning opportunity than jumping in and preventing the spill.
Agreed. I mean, we could probably go back and forth like a tennis volley with examples. I'm thinking of adults being able to zip pants and tie shoes and put on jackets and snow pants a hell of a lot quicker, you know?
Because, yeah.
And I'm thinking also, I'm in my brain, I'm asking myself, well, what's the common denominator? Is there a common denominator as to why we don't, you know, why don't we just automatically shut up and wait? And I'm thinking, at least in a more traditional childcare environment, it probably is a time factor.
Yeah.
If I had to guess, I've got 20 minutes of outside time and I've got a bunch of toddlers rolling around like panda bears. We're gonna miss our time outside because it takes them forever to do this. So instead of then making more of a developmentally appropriate, perhaps idealistic, you know, schedule that actually reflects this age group and have realistic expectations of what they are and are not able to do, you know, we just try and squeeze them into this schedule that's been up there for forever and then wonder why they're 7 and can't tie their shoes.
Yeah.
Because we've never given them the opportunity
to fiddle with their shoelaces.
Yeah.
It's this, I mean, we talk about it often, this rush that we're in, not just in early learning, but in life in general. It's all, we're always hurrying on to the next thing. And the strategy of shutting up, forming those Elfie Cohen teeth marks on your tongue and waiting for the situation to play out isn't, it just doesn't fit in with the rushed, hurried world that we've created for ourselves. And so to engage this strategy, you almost have to actively choose to slow things down in your world a little bit. And that's kind of a hard thing to do.
Yes.
Full stop.
Full stop.
So,
well, I was saying that I had a kind of an adult example.
Yeah. Yeah. What happened
the other day? Well, my sister and I have a trip scheduled, to go to Iceland, actually. Total pleasure trip. She's wanted to go since fourth grade. You know, and I'm like, well, let's go make this happen. Her husband was like, go, get out of there. So I booked the tickets. She booked the hotel. We're going to meet in, unfortunately, we have to go through Newark. We're going to meet in Newark and then go up to Reykjavik for like 4 days and then come back. So not a huge long trip, but, you know, long enough to play in the water. That's all I want to do up there in the Blue Lagoon. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The point is that like 2 days ago, we've had this trip now scheduled probably since May. She texts me and she says, oh my gosh, you know, I just found out my husband is maybe going to have to travel and I might not be able to go and da 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 da. So this long text and I'm like, oh shit. And Pablo actually said, being the wiser, occasionally calmer of the two of us.
Occasionally
said,
calmer.
Always calmer. He says, I don't think you should respond to that tonight. And I'm like, that's probably good. So I didn't. And I was a little worried that she was going to then start ruminating that I hadn't responded. Like, she's thinking I'm really mad. But I'm like, you know what? It's late enough in the night that I could be like, yeah, I was asleep or whatever. But it was totally intentional. I woke up the next morning to a text from her saying, oh my gosh, they changed the travel where I'm able to go. It's no big deal. You know, I might have overreacted. And I texted her back and I'm like, I am so glad that I didn't respond. I mean, I shut up and waited. And, you know, but my brain mm-hmm. was already in fix-it mode, already in the plan B, and are the tickets refundable, and who do we start calling, and then maybe I should reach out to somebody else when to go, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know how, I would have escalated that situation completely unintentionally
yeah.
by trying to make it better.
Uh-huh.
And simply by waiting, because there wasn't going to be anything that we could have done over that nighttime anyway, right?
Yeah.
It's not like we're leaving in the morning, right? We've got weeks before this happens. And so when you said that her, you know, shut up and wait, I was like, oh my God, this is exactly what happened with me and Kimmy the other night. I waited, which is out of my, that's not my character. My character is to, you know, start brainstorming strategies and alternatives and plan B scenarios. And it just probably would have escalated completely unnecessarily. And her response back was, I'm so glad you didn't respond, because that's exactly what would have happened.
Yeah, you would have spun that whole evening into panic mode and
yeah.
with it unnecessarily. And so, but that a little bit of that strategizing and what do I do if kind of thinking is probably beneficial in situations where you're trying with kids to shut up and wait. I'm picturing a 23-month-old climbing up a structure on a playground, and they're getting a little bit high, and you're getting a little bit uncomfortable. I mean, high height-wise, they
yep.
didn't like find a bong on the playground, which I mean,
those brownies tasted funny. I knew they tasted funny.
Oh shit, that's the world we live in. But the kid's getting up there, and you're starting to do that adult panic. They're getting too high, but you're also wanting to let them go. I mean, because kids are pretty good at pushing their, knowing where their limits are. And so you're trying to step back, but taking a moment to pause and think, okay, I've got my phone and I know what the number to 911 is. And I know I've got the first aid kit in my hip pack or whatever it is. Going through that kind of mental checklist of, if this situation goes sideways, how am I going to respond to it is probably,
yeah.
it gives you something to occupy yourself while you're stepping back and waiting, shutting up and waiting.
Well, and I always like to say, and this might sound tooting my own hornish, but I know that is a talent that I've always had, kind of like running through that contingency plan, but yet at the same time, not willing the situation to go there. Right. And there's that, I think that's a fine line. Being prepared for the worst is very different than assuming that the worst is going to happen. And that might sound very subtle,
yeah,
or sound like verbiage or semantics, but in my brain, those are two completely different actions. I am ready if this goes south, but I'm not jumping to any conclusions that that's what's going to happen, but I'm ready if that's the direction that it goes.
Yeah. And I totally agree. And building on that, sometimes our desire to jump in and fix things or prevent things right away, whether it's the child on the climbing structure or the child trying to pour the milk, actually causes it to
yes.
go south. I mean, the
yes.
the little one's getting up there and your response is, ah!
Yeah.
The child turns and lets
down.
Go and falls off.
Yeah.
Or the same thing with the milk, that panic scream, like, put the milk down, causes the child to spill the milk. So that whole biting the tongue piece of this is more important than sometimes we maybe think.
Well, and what I'm thinking too is we're 15, 20 minutes into this conversation. I'm almost thinking it's impossible to separate the two topics. Of situational awareness and shut up and wait, because how I might wait with kid A might be very different than kid B, depending on my relationship, how long I've known this child, you know, what do I know about them? What's the history here? Like, you know, DPD.
Yeah.
This might be the first time that this kid's taken that initiative to start climbing up the structure. So I might move in subtly, calmly, you
yeah.
know, off to the side, but I might react to that totally different than the kid that's, you know, been climbing up to the roof since she was 7 weeks old, right?
Absolutely.
That. You know, you're still paying attention, but my brain doesn't really, I don't got a lot of bandwidth with that one, but this one, this is a first timer, you know, I'm gonna wait perhaps a little bit differently, perhaps dramatically differently, depending on the kid.
Well, it might be because it might be different from kid A on today and 3 weeks from now because, you know, because they're always changing. But you might find out something's going on with kid A. Mom or dad drops them off in the morning and they're like, didn't sleep really well last night and kind of, she might be coming down with something. That's going to affect how you respond in those moments as well, because just the day-to-day changes in information and ebb and flow of life can impact those things. So it is very, very situational. Maybe we should wrap this one up and then just roll right into the situational awareness episode.
Well, I want to say one more thing before
okay.
we do that.
Yeah.
With the shut up and wait, I think there's a link between this and my in the workshop, for those of you who've seen me, where I tell everybody to wait 10 days before they do anything.
Yeah.
Before they do anything new and different, because I'm even thinking of just like the pouring of the milk. It, you know, let's say I casually mention that and at a workshop, you're like, wow, I've never let the kids pour their own drink before. So if you go in 10 days and that's your first baby step, you're going to be paying attention in an entirely different manner, you know, than somebody who maybe has always let the kids pour their milk, but now they're making that transition from a plastic jug that's child size to maybe a glass that's child size. You know what I'm saying? Like there's even layers of, if you've never let kids pour anything, you're not going to start with milk in a glass. You know, you're going to start with, you know, sand or beans and rice in a sensory tub. You're going to start big before you bring right to the small, something bigger.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, it's very one situational, but very, and two, it can be very, very nuanced, very, very layered in the waiting.
Yeah. Yeah. And just thinking about it, I think one of the other benefits of that waiting is it does give us opportunity to observe better and more.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that we spend so much time, I think, in this profession reacting, that we don't do as much observing as we maybe could.
Yeah.
And so just that holding back a little bit allows you to take in the whole situation a little bit more. And then if you decide you do need to respond, you respond more with more information, more mindfully.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Huge fan of reflecting over reacting. Good topic. Jeff.
I think we've created a podcast episode.
I think we did.
I think we just stop here. We step back from it. We put it out to the people and see if anybody listens to it.
Sounds like a plan.
Hey, listeners, you have pushed us past 500,000 total downloads of the Child Care Bar and Grill podcast, and that's not. I mean, that's half a day of downloads for some big giant podcasts. For a little niche early learning podcast that is kind of irreverent and sometimes alcohol based, that's pretty good numbers, we think. So thank you for that. We really dig that you like the show. We're averaging 15,000 downloads a month lately, and that's really up from the first week when there were like 8. So we really appreciate that. Find Lisa at ooeygooey.com. You can find me at explorationsearlylearning.com or over at the playvolutionhq.com site if you're looking for episodes. That's where all the back episodes of the podcast live if you're not subscribing on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing the show. Back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Boom. We'll be right back. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.